Man,
everybody's here. That's coming.
3:35. Let's start. Herbie, you want to lead us in the pledge?
Sure. Proud to do so. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay.
Thank you.
I think we've... The basic goal was to update the Charlie Busick policy, and I think we're about 99% there, so this will probably be the last meeting. Motion for the minutes. Minutes, anybody? One.
Second.
Two. All in favor?
Aye.
Anybody against it? So, before we have these last couple discussions about a couple of the different departments and offices, Herb, or did anybody else, have any language they wanted to clarify, you know, T's and I's type stuff that we were talking about, or did we get all that done?
I gave all my comments to Natalie, and she incorporated it.
Okay.
So I'm good.
All right. So we all got a packet from the sheriff, and for the most part, I think the DA's office, the sheriff's department, and emergency services was largely more or less exempted. Not in every way, but quite exempted out of a large part of the Charlie Busick policy and most policies that you see, and was largely going to be exempted out of this policy the same way. A couple of things we were trying to talk about is if any of the take-home vehicles would be marked in any way, if any of the take-home vehicles, like the captain of a captain in the jail, a CO, which is who's been seen driving his kids around, by the way, if that person needed a take-home vehicle, talking to COs, I've yet to come across anybody that has told me honestly on the side that they think, you know, one or two of these vehicles on the jail side should be a take-home vehicle or exempted. This is somebody that works 99.99% of their shifts at the jail, and it was described to me by several people as a, quote, fringe benefit of becoming a captain at the jail. Probably a vehicle we could talk, but there's only one or two vehicles in the sheriff's department, unlike, I think, in DPW, where once this is passed along to the entire body and passed, there's a decent chance that there's some take-home vehicles in public works that are no longer take-home vehicles and are then shared and used during the day. Go ahead, Comptroller.
I'm just wondering, has the committee received a list of vehicles from the sheriff's?
Microphone. You have one.
Has the sheriff's office provided a list of vehicles in their department to the committee? That is something that we would like to have in the controller's
office. We've requested that. We've also requested specific call-out numbers, and never were we looking to talk about anybody that was undercover, anything from urgent or anything else. That was from the very beginning, not even part of this policy, and we've never received anything. And when I tell you, it's been 6 months of specific requests with nothing back. And the only thing we get is very generic. The latest thing seems like something chat helped with, but it definitely didn't give us anything specific. The other thing about the sheriff's department and the DA's office, and I even talked to the undersheriff at one point who thought there could be some kind of a nuanced way where the DA would provide oversight to the sheriff and the sheriff would provide oversight where with access to their GPS, because they're not giving it to us. So it's a lot of vehicles, and there are take-home vehicles mixed in. I've had whistleblowers come to me with how some of these vehicles are being used, but all we're told from the sheriff is they're really upstanding and don't worry about it. They're going to keep an eye on their vehicles and nothing will be used incorrectly. So I don't know where to go from there if we're not going to get cooperation.
Thank you.
We received a spreadsheet that was difficult to understand. It was not really categorized.
It would say things like there was 590 call-outs, whatever that means. So we never did get those specific numbers from the 9 or 10 investigators as well. I don't believe we ever, from the DA side, I don't think we ever got specific off-hour call-outs from the DA's leased vehicles as well. And that was, you know, there were many, many requests for those specifics as well. And those are things that, in theory, when you're justifying a take-home vehicle, there's a monetary side to it, and then there is a health and safety where sometimes you say, look, I don't care if it's one time a year, one time every 10 years, might be a matter of life and death, so we're going to give this person a take-home vehicle, and that's something that we have to take into consideration. I still am surprised that these things aren't being tracked, because all of these offices functioned under the original Charlie Busick policy, which required these things to be tracked per vehicle, per title. How many times this person was called out. And another thing that we've never fully talked about that I think we could have a quick conversation about, and that's in other counties, when you have a pool of vehicles and you have somebody that might be called out at night off hours, what people do for a couple of different reasons, one is for just savings, is you would have somebody on certain dates be on call and they would take a vehicle home that was not their take-home, but they would take it home on nights they're on call. Now, maybe they get a little stipend, that's fine, but they are prepared, they're not drinking, and that's the other side of this. We have a fleet of these take-home vehicles, and it's justified because we say, well, they might get a call in the middle of the night, which basically means all these people never know when they're going to be the ones that respond or it's going to be their coworker. So how do any of them prepare like they should, which means no drinking, good night's sleep, because I might be up at 3 o'clock in the morning hightailing it to an accident or a downed tree or something. So we have no plan as far as who's going to be called out and making sure that person is in a well-rested and sober state. So I don't know how that's never been talked about or thought about and why we don't do more planning as other counties do. I think this, you know, and it goes, and it's different, but I mean, whether it's a DA investigator or a highway side, a sign, somebody that's going to go and check on a down sign or a down tree report, which could come through a 911 call or straight through a number provided on the county website. But to have this, all these people that at any given moment could get a call to say, run out there. I mean, we know people drink. We know people smoke. We know people stay up late. So I think it's not just irresponsible monetarily, but it's irresponsible not to have these conversations that other counties have had. We have not been able to work that into the... Did you have something, Herb?
No, just putting it on vibrate.
Oh, okay. So Everett did come to me and had said that their vehicles are marked. He has no, but he would prefer a marking of their choice. And I told him that we have no problem with that. It's just got to be a certain size. And I think we already put that more or less into the resolution. But I don't know if we got specific what the language was. So that was something I wanted to clear up, that every department, as long as it's a certain size, none of us had any issue with what the emblem. DPW was going with like a map of the county, the county outline. But whatever 911 wants to do. Or,
page 7 has that language.
Okay. Does it give? He was concerned
a little bit
that he didn't want a certain
this whole thing.
I think we said it had to be 12 inches or larger.
Mm-hmm. And they could choose. So whatever he wants to put on the side.
It was the county. It was in bold. Remember the whole thing? Two-Lies County.
All right, so we'll need to make a small amendment for emergency services or any other department or office, as long as it's the right size, that size that we picked. I don't mind if he wants to put emergency services or something on there and not do the same thing as DPW. 16.14.2, does somebody want to make a motion of some kind of legal language? I don't think it needs to be exact right now. We can get Chris to draw it up. Or let's just put that in there. I don't even think we have to vote on that. But we'll add that.
Can I just clarify? We're going to add language saying that emergency services can identify that they're emergency
yes,
services.
Yes, at any other department, as long as it's the right size. It okay. does not have to be the gold one that we're doing for public works.
Okay.
But if somebody
so
working
to change
over UCAT point. Wanted to have
so
something
just,
else.
So clarifying, it doesn't have to be the 18 by 15, and it doesn't have to be the 12. It could be something they come up with themselves.
No, it's got to be at least those sizes.
It has to be a minimum of those
sizes. A minimum of those sizes, legitimately marked, but it doesn't have to be...
Which number?
The county seal in gold. That's what we're more or less recommending, but when you start thinking about all these different departments and offices, if, as long as it's a reasonable, if they want to have something with emergency services or 911 or something on the side, that's fine. I don't think we should lock them into what we find most appropriate for the public works is basically where that came from.
Yeah, 614.
Chair, are there exceptions to this?
Where? What are you looking at?
Which departments this would apply to, and which departments would be exempt?
There is an exemption for law enforcement on page, what was that, Matt? 6.12.
Gotcha.
So there.
That just refers to the GPS call-in exemption.
Where are you?
I was looking at the exemption in 6.12. Aaron said that's just GPS. Oh, sorry.
Where was, do you remember, do you have it, where the other exemptions were for the different, there's a lot of.
I don't think we had an exemption for the yeah, markings. Do you want me to change 6.14.2 to be specific to public works?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Gina, your question was about the markings specific for law enforcement.
Exempt. Do you want me? So on page 7, there's 6.12, which says all vehicles are to be equipped with GPS tracking, with the exception of law enforcement vehicles that may be used for investigation purposes. I can copy that language into this, and instead of BGPS, it can be for uniform markings.
Yeah. That takes care of that. And then what I was wondering about. With exemptions as well was the requirement for the number of call-outs to have a take-home vehicle. What is the language? I wanted to go through quickly, look at the language for, because we have special equipment has an exemption. What was the language with the with law enforcement and investigators.
Okay.
because there's language around exemptions there, obviously, because they're not meeting their people in emergency services. There's obviously people at the DA's office and the sheriff's department that are not meeting that requirement of numbers, but yet they're still exempt, but they're still going to keep their take-home vehicles. We don't want to mark any and nothing that's used investigatively we would ever think about marking, so that would pretty much cover the entire take-home fleet of the DA's office. DSS?
No, FCAC.
Yeah.
They're social services
yes.
department, but they're...
But they're investigators.
Yeah.
Yes. So we're not, I think we use the word investigation, right? Do we use
so.
As long as we're not just...
6.12...
No. Where do you have it, Chris?
In the GPS one, Natalie said she'll replicate that language. It says investigative vehicles.
Okay. So that won't be a violation of the policy to not mark those. And this is still going to, through the standing committee process, and so we're still going to have months. Everybody's going to get another crack if they want something tweaked or taken out or exempted. It's going to become, this is a pretty bipartisan committee, so as long as I think we go and state our case, I think the policy should look similar to this, and we'll have the votes to do it, but there's still going to be a whole process.
Let's go to laws and rules next.
I think it'll go to ways and means and laws and rules, but that's up to Vicki where it goes.
I'm thinking public works.
Public works and
ways and means.
And ways and means. I mean, it's a policy, but it's up to Vicki. It'll probably go to. I don't know. Why would it? It affects. Well, why wouldn't it go laws and rules and ways and means? But we'll see.
This was a kind of a random question, but it's something that I'm not sure of in my own head. So the county fleet manager oversees all these vehicles. We have not had this great participation from the sheriff's office. So the sheriff's office is going to have like their own fleet manager who then reports to the county fleet manager.
So the way I understand it is, first of all, I was told what a year or two ago when I first started talking vehicles and stuff, I would talk to somebody named Zeke Wenzel from the Sheriff's Department. And he referred to himself as the fleet manager. When I talked to other people in the Sheriff's Department, they would refer to this individual as the Sheriff's fleet manager. So he kind of has a fleet manager, but that's not the title.
Right.
The only fleet manager in the county is Ms. Million from DPW. So, and the sheriff does go through you to for oil changes and for all their...
And to get the vehicles numbered.
Yes.
So the county has their own numbering system?
That being said, there's still a lot of things to handle with the vehicles and keep an eye on. So they had somebody I actually talked about a couple of months ago. Perhaps we should have a conversation in this committee about giving a title to the sheriff, him actually having a fleet manager and not having somebody do this job in a CO title. As soon as I said that, we had three people show up to the next meeting and they said there is no fleet manager, they all share it, and there was no more conversation about that, even though he still is their fleet manager is a large part of his job. That's one part of it. The other part of it is GPS. So we have Samsara, which is what 90% of the county uses for all our vehicles. The sheriff has contracted with a different company. Does anyone know what the name is off the top of their head? March, do you know who this? Anybody know? They do not use Samsara. They use a different software, and nobody has access to that but the sheriff, which on one hand, you have to understand that they have vulnerable people out there that are, so to have too much access to whatever could be, you know, different things. There is different ways to give people access to software without them being able to see quite a bit, except for maybe a model number and the usage of it, you know. But we weren't able to have that conversation. Like I said, the undersheriff mentioned to me in conversation that it would be an interesting thing at least to have, you know, so if the DA, if somebody had a complaint or whatever, or you wanted a report run, the sheriff could do the report on the DA vehicles. You'd have to trust, I would hope you could find some trust there between the sheriff's department and the DA's office to have them looking at GPS, but at least it's a different office providing some oversight to how these vehicles are being used. But we never got to that point. So I'm not really sure what to do about that when it comes to this policy, because there are take-home vehicles that are not used very much for investigative purposes. There are quite a bit of take-home vehicles. It's not all, you know, undercover work that's being done with these vehicles. And I do think that in government, you'd like to have some level of transparency and oversight that's not provided by that person themselves.
So basically right now, the vehicles in the sheriff's department, I mean, it kind of operates as its own, like, fiefdom.
Yes.
And how are we going to deal with that moving forward? I mean, are they going to just continue to be their own little fiefdom, or I guess that has yet to be determined.
That is yet to be determined, and it's not really dealt with. And like I said, we're talking about, we weren't even looking for a lot from the sheriff's department, you know, and I think we could have come up with something. I think as this goes, as we get done with it and pass it along, I'm going to go do a better job of looking into how other counties do it. And you know what? I might find out that there isn't a lot. Like, maybe the Dutchess and the Orange County Sheriff's Department, maybe they oversee themselves as well, and it's just been too complicated with all the undercover work and all the sensitive things going on with some of these vehicles there's not a lot of people doing it any different around here. And at that point, or maybe we find that there is some other level of oversight that's provided. Maybe the sheriff does give quite a bit of access to the county comptroller, or they or the fleet manager out of public works. We'll see. But I think that's going to be by the time it gets to Ways and Means, I'm going to have something on that. And if there's an amendment that we can put in, then we can talk about it there, I suppose.
So it may be fine that they have their own vehicle.
It could be.
As long as there is sufficient oversight either from the DA's office or from the county.
That would be one solution. That was just meant, the undersheriff just mentioned it as an idea. He was going to run it past the sheriff, but it never got to that point.
And do we know if the DA's office is amenable to that sort of a situation?
Now, the DA's office is on Samsara, too. No. Oh, are you on the same software as the sheriff's department? You have your own software as well?
For GPS?
Yeah.
We have none.
There's no GPS in your vehicles?
Not in any investigative vehicle that I know of.
Huh. I didn't know that. I thought there was GPS in there. I didn't know which one you were on.
And just so you know, Sheriff Figueroa, in the conclusion, doesn't call it a fiefdom. He calls it an independent policy oversight. Yeah. So I think it's important to have some independence, but I like your thoughts on the DA's office having some oversight.
I say that.
Yes. See that parallel?
Yeah. And did we didn't get any answers on what commissioned employees were.
I think he says that in here.
That's just, we thought we knew already, right?
So, excuse me, so are there plans to put GPS, GPS in the DA's vehicles, or?
No.
No.
There's not a chance of putting GPS on any investigative vehicle. I don't think the sheriff's has them either. State police don't use it either. The uniform car is one thing. Investigative vehicles, where they go, what they do, who they're looking at. It's all visible with the GPS. So no investigative car that I know of anywhere in this county
Right.
has a GPS.
So that's like fear of being hacked or...
Well, it's just a matter of it leaves a trail as to where you're going if somebody were to look at it, and we might be looking at something that's extremely confidential.
And someone could make like a FOIL request or something.
No, you wouldn't have to answer that kind of FOIL. I don't know. That's another thing I think we should look into. Let's find out, because there's not all investigative vehicles in DA's offices are take home either in other counties. So we've you know, all we know is there's no investigative vehicles in Ulster County that use GPS. I'd be surprised if I'd be surprised. So you're saying even the state troopers, they don't have GPS in any of their cars themselves? No one ever knows where these cars go.
In any of the investigative cars, they do not.
That they can see themselves?
None, period. The GPS are only mounted on the uniform cars.
Yep. I mean, that's... You would know better than us. I didn't... I hadn't put a lot of thought into it because we weren't, you know, we knew we were never going to get, we weren't looking for anybody that was doing any kind of investigation. Yeah. I don't think anyone here thought that we were going to give a bunch of access to any of these undercover vehicles or give any access at all. So.
Some of the undercover vehicles that they use in terms of undercover, which is a different category than investigative.
Yeah.
They don't even have radios in them.
Yeah.
Every investigative vehicle, every police investigative vehicle in the county, regardless of agency, are enrolled in a police program with DMV, so that if you were to run the plate or have somebody run the plate, you're not going to get anything.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
And I'm going to get a flag saying that you ran the plate.
Yep.
And that applies to every investigative vehicle in the state. If it's assigned to an investigator, detective, investigator, it's in that flag system.
Yeah, makes sense, and you can come up with a million hypotheticals on why. Did anybody have anything else? Go ahead, Mark.
Chair, I was looking at section 6.11, which is the reauthorization of taking vehicles, and I was wondering, you know, given the comments of Deputy County Executive Capuano several meetings ago about collective bargaining issues, I was wondering if you wanted to require a reauthorization upon the vacancy in the position. Do you know what I'm saying? So rather than just have it come up on the 6 month, but if somebody actually leaves the seat, you take another look.
Yeah. The single biggest discussion we probably had throughout this whole committee was how to go about these vehicles that ultimately do not hit the requirements of this and have no exemption for that. So ultimately, we're going to basically be taking certain take-homes away. To be completely honest, it looks like the majority are going to be inside of DPW if this continues on and passes the way that we have it written. We talked about grandfathering people in forever until they leave, and then that. We talked about having it right now that they're bargaining right now, coming up with whatever that number would be, a couple of bucks a day, whatever they claim it would be, could be added to those people. I think what we ultimately decided was they didn't really have a lawsuit. We could probably do it because there was no uniformity to the vehicle, to the position, to the timing, because we've not been presented with meetings, emails, or anything that even was discussed during any collective bargaining time period, and there's nothing in the contract itself, anything that you're going to find in past cases where somebody had won a case like this, and there was a handful that were out there. You would have had proof that it was either in their contract as part of their pay, it would have been mentioned during negotiations in a provable way, there would have been a uniformity to it, but we have people that for the first time ever, just 2 or 3 years ago, this position never had a vehicle, it gets one. So all those things ended up, and we kind of left it up to the committee. And I think, Herb, you kind of led the charge. DOT did this successfully, and as far as Herb recalls, it was the same exact way. They just said, we're not going to do this anymore with these vehicles. And we're comfortable if it gets challenged and taken to court. But that was one thing that we discussed. It was also discussed, but I think it ended up being kind of unrealistic to do some kind of an appeal process where if it got taken away, you could come. But I think we were asking for more trouble in that way. I think Kevin came up with that.
But what about on that 6.11, someone who's not part of a collective bargaining agreement?
And that we never had to worry about.
Okay.
Because their advantage, you know, they could be fired at any point if whoever appoints them or,
right,
you know, these
right.
management positions don't have.
But should we address in this clause, upon termination, the take-home vehicle will be re-examined?
Well, no, those take-home vehicles, if they don't reach the standard, are all being taken away as well.
Uh-huh. So it's not necessary?
I don't think so. You know what I'm saying? What do you think, Dan? I mean, maybe I'm not...
Because if they lose their job and they had a take-home vehicle, but they're not part of a union, that vehicle will be assessed anyway, again?
Yes, this assesses all, whether it's civil service or management. This title applies to everybody. We weren't even worried about management, per se. We were only worried about the unions because it was brought up that there could potentially be, but it just doesn't look like any of the successful situations that have happened over the years have been brought to court. They all had checked all of these boxes, none of which we will check here. But if it happens, we'll have to, I mean, if somebody decides to sue over getting a take-home vehicle taken away, they'll have a uphill battle proving that it was part of their pay. Anybody else before we call it a policy? Did we want to name the policy? We certainly don't want to call it the Charlie Busick. I think, Herb, you suggested Mustang Sally, the Mustang Sally policy.
Yeah, okay. Ulster County Fleet Management Policy.
There we go. Yeah. Nothing cute, huh?
It's a great name.
Yeah. Well, March, you got to...
Management's broader than...
Yeah. What's that?
Yes. Fleet management is the whole
yeah.
fleet.
This is
take-home policy.
Yeah.
This is more of a take-home policy.
Actually, it's right on. Ulster
yeah.
County Fleet Vehicle Take-Home
Policy. Yeah. So we're just taking out the Charlie Busick.
Yeah.
And the Ulster County policy. And Amanda, did we add... was that going to be part of this? You had come up with a much more, I think, legally tight way to have people sign off. I don't know if you wanted to show us what you had. I don't know if we need to reference it or not in the policy. And I think you thought it was more.
I think part of what we have to do is to take the policy and then you make the standard operating procedure from it. Forms that then will be reviewed on that annual basis, that both document a lot of what's in here in a lot of different places, frankly, as far as the that all the conditions are met and that the vehicle is then being assigned as a take-home vehicle, and then a second set of forms that would, I guess, not many folks in here. Second form set that then would assign the vehicle, and it would assign the vehicle, it would acknowledge the type of basically the IRS
yeah.
categories of the vehicle assignment. So is it emergency? Is it like a truck with specialized equipment? Or is it, you know, a take-home vehicle for performing your work duties? So it would acknowledge that. That's important for finance to have, because then that documents the $3 a day benefit that would show up on the payroll and on the pay stub, and then also has an acknowledgement
of, just like we do drug and alcohol policy, that you have to sign off that you've read it.
Read the whole thing.
It.
Yeah.
Same thing. So then you have that kind of all together and annually reviewed. But I see that more as the standard operating procedure.
Yeah.
That then kind of takes this and makes it into a workflow.
Nobody thinks we need to reference it here, that there is a, but, I mean, it'll be done. So, either way, I think it'll. Anybody have anything else before we go ahead, buddy?
I just had a question on the very last page, page 22, talks about the fleet administration user guide to be developed, the Ulster County Vehicle Driver's Operator Manual to be developed, Ulster County Records Retention Schedule, and Destruction Authorization to be developed. So when are these, when do we expect those documents to be prepared?
It's a good, yeah, oh yeah, go ahead.
I would just actually recommend that most of the references, because they're two standard operating procedures, and again, we have to parse this out, so standard operating procedures can be updated for various purposes, and they are within the county executive's operational purview for the departments. I would tend not to, in this document, to reference them by either name or number. They are going to be updated. The universe of standard operating procedures is going to be updated at some point in the near future, because it frankly needs it. So I would tend to think of this the way, and I found the original municipality that was the inspiration for the Charlie Busick policy, and that's how come some of the titles had never gotten changed here, like department directors instead of department heads. That all came from kind of the original municipality that was used as kind of the template for Charlie Busick. I think that there should be some, can reference some of these, but I don't think that, I think this needs to be broader in policy, knowing that the SOP manual is something that's maintained through the executive. So tying yourself to specific names in the SOP manual or yet to be developed titles of the SOP manual, I don't think is kind of really the purview of this policy. So
you recommend that we take out references in Section 8 to these various appendices?
I don't know. I'd have to read it again to see what the value add is of all these references.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we just take out the entire appendix? I don't know why we have it.
Yeah, well, I was actually going to suggest that very thing.
And also, just to note that you both have Section 4, which is references, right?
Yep.
And then Section 8, this appendix. And there's things in there about, like, how to request a car wash. I don't think that that's...
Yeah.
I don't think that's the level of what you're trying to capture.
Everybody good with the appendix out? Removing the appendix?
Works for me.
But then you also have a lot of similar titles in that Section 4 up front.
So for consistency, Director Laval, you think we should, Deputy Executive Laval, you think we should just get rid of the reference section as well?
About 4.1.
Deputy
Executive Laval. Would this fleet administration user guide include most of these SOPs?
Yes, that would be 415.
Oh, yeah, 415. Yeah, it says to be developed.
Right.
So then maybe we just remove everything that says to be developed.
Yeah. Maybe not. So.
Or we just get rid of the entire references section and the entire appendix.
We could keep 4.18, 4.18, which references following the IRS regulations, but.
There are about, I think, four or five that exist within the transportation section of the SOP manual that's on the internet. However, I would just kind of, if the executive, you know, changes the numbering of the SOP manual, are you going to?
Yep. So we're all comfortable scrapping basically the whole thing.
Just keep 4.1.
But I was saying that at first too, but do we usually kind of reference the policy itself? I mean, it all sounds, that makes sense, but is that something that's usually a reference?
No.
No, right? Because that was what I first thought, and then Natalie just said it to me. Do you really think that that's usually so? Me and her, I mean, we both like the wording, but I don't think.
Do you want to keep 4.18?
Yeah. So let's just, the IRS is mentioned nowhere else in here because that is something that is a legit thing about the IRS does expect take-home vehicles to be treated as such
right
as
here,
pay.
IRS. And I think
so 5.6 mentions it. So let's just take out the whole reference. Mm-hmm. Go on.
Remove those two.
Go ahead.
I think it's a mistake to include IRS regs. I think people who are signing onto this policy, if you include the words IRS regs, you're expecting them to go research the IRS regs, which is out of their capacity. You know, I do think that saying that whoever is receiving a take-home vehicle under this policy needs to comply with the, you know, internal, you know, with the procedures of the county and federal and state tax law is appropriate. But I don't think you should.
But whether or not it's in the policy doesn't mean they don't have to do it.
Exactly. They're going to have to one way or another.
That could be something that you're dealing with, it, referencing in your. So, references out.
I have another question, kind of similarly.
Yeah.
Under Section 3, organization affected, applicable to all Ulster County departments and agencies.
What about the college? What about UCRA?
Let me see the exact language.
Section 3 on the first page.
Do they have county-owned vehicles? Or does the agency own the vehicles?
The agency owns the vehicles.
So, and that is considered a county agency?
Yeah.
I don't think we have any jurisdiction over who takes vehicles home at the college or the RRA.
Are there any agencies that utilize Ulster County owned vehicles?
Or take Ulster County owned?
Are there any external agencies?
Like the EDA they don't have any take home vehicles, right? But that would be we refer to it as an agency that would potentially, if you're going somewhere on behalf of the EDA, you could grab a fleet vehicle, but it wouldn't be a take home. So
if we eliminate
agency,
then it's just Ulster County departments.
Well, the sheriff's office is not considered an agency. The clerk's office is not considered an agency. The district attorney's office, they're considered offices. I would recommend exempting SUNY Ulster and UCRA specifically.
And then just leaving the...
Yeah.
Or do we change it to offices? Agency? Does agencies applies to the sheriff's department and the DA's office? Or should we put offices?
You could say departments. We call them administrative units. Maybe the IDA should be exempted as well.
But they don't use county vehicles anyway.
No.
No.
And they wouldn't be a take-home vehicle even if they did use a county vehicle.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a take-home.
They would get a full car, and they would get something like that. So,
I think if they bought a vehicle, then assigned it to the executive director, you could see that executive director taking the vehicle home. I think that's the issue.
But then it belongs to the agency and not Ulster County
Department. But then the sheriff's.
I agree, but I think others could take the position that those are county entities.
If we took out agencies, you're saying we'd be taking out, isn't it the sheriff's department, isn't it?
It's called an office, the sheriff's office, the clerk's office, the district attorney's office.
Those are county-owned vehicles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's add...
Agencies don't own county-owned vehicles.
Let's just take agencies out. We can't come up with a single... a good reason that, even a hypothetical, let's just do...
Departments and offices.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. We had a lot of conversations around taking and changing things, and that one, those two never came up. But it makes sense to take them out.
I think it is like an artifact of the original kind of inspiration for Charlie Cusick. So
it was pre-charter, and it came from a town, kind of, right?
That's what I remember.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anything else? You got one? You got a meeting in 5 minutes, Herb?
Yep.
So this is, I think we're just about there. And there's things, anything else we can talk about in Ways and Means or Laws and Rules or Public Works. Anybody else? Do we do a final vote to approve what we have here?
You can.
You guys just want an up or down vote on sending this as our document off?
I'll make a motion that we recommend our policy as amended. The Ulster County Fleet Vehicle Take-Home Policy as amended.
I will second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aaron Knitty. That's all right. We only needed four. All right. Motion, Herb.
Yay.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right.
Good job.